Welcome to Creative Mind Living, a podcast for people interested in personal growth based on the principles of Carl Jung, neuroscience, and Eastern philosophies. We are your hosts, Deborah
and Robert Maldonado,
founders of Creative Mind Coaching. So today's topic is, do other people influence our mind? And before we get into the topic, you know what time of year it is, Rob?
It's vacation time.
Yes. And that means that a lot of us go into a new environment.
Oh, yeah.
Around new people.
New cultures, new settings.
And we seem to be happier.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Usually it's this kind of refreshing kind of feeling when you're
moving
outside of the norm.
Break the patterns.
The drudgery of your everyday life. And maybe we think it's because we're not at work and we're not working, but I think it's because we crave being in new environments.
Oh, absolutely. We know the environment has a big influence on our mind.
Mm. And we're going to talk about that today. So those of you on vacation listening to this podcast, enjoy the environment you're in, whether you're on a beach or in some mountain chalet, some lake somewhere, and sit back and relax. We're going to talk about other people in our environment and how they influence or can they influence our mind.
Yeah, so if we start from the beginning, we're born into families, and the family is part of a bigger group.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger groups are part of cultures, and the cultures part of societies. All those levels influence our mindset,
mm-hmm.
the way we think about the world, the way we see ourselves. All that is very powerful influence. But obviously, the people around us are the ones that really have a powerful influence on our mind.
And we know that from, I mean, anyone who's done personal development will tell you that their parents screwed them up or their childhood screwed them up. And we're not saying that it's a bad thing that we are conditioned by the people around us. But I think we forget that even as adults, our mind is still open to be influenced, mm-hmm. just like it was when we were younger.
Yeah. And really the whole idea in personal development is this idea of kind of creating the conditions for your own growth, right? Consciously saying, what allows me to grow? What allows me to learn? What allows me to feel the way I want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
And consciously creating those situations, that then creates that feedback loop of the environment is giving you what you need, and you're happier, and so you're creating more of that,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, it snowballs.
Or it goes the other way, where the environment doesn't, your mind is thinking negative or in limitation, and you're seeing limitation out there, and then it's repeating that. And so we are always looking at the environment as a reflection of our mind, and what it really is a reflection of our conditioned mind.
Yeah. I think it boils down to this. Do you see the environment as something completely out of your control?
Mm.
You know, something that you have no say, so you're kind of just an innocent bystander. Or do you see it as it's reflecting my mind?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything I'm experiencing, everything I'm seeing is a reflection of my own mind. And we think that's the correct approach, really, that if you can see everything as showing you something about your mind, then you're able to use it
mm-hmm.
and to grow from it, regardless of whether you define it as a positive experience or negative experience or somewhere in between. It's useful to you. But most people, they perceive the environment as something external to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Buddhism, they say, most people perceive independent arising, meaning they think objects, people, experiences are independent of their mind, right? My mind is in my skull somewhere, and the external is there by itself.
Separate, and you're just reacting to it,
yeah.
And you have to navigate through it. And, you know, always see on Facebook and on the internet all the time of articles people write about how to get toxic people out of your life. Mm. And we have to realize that those toxic people are reflective of something in us. Not that we're toxic, but that these type of people reflect part of that conditioning, or the, so we tend to see them more. We tend, so if we had a person in our life earlier on that was maybe angry all the time, we would tend to almost see them everywhere. They show up in other faces, and we fit with them like puzzle pieces, because if we didn't like to be the angry person, we're probably the pleaser. And so and no matter what you do, I think the bad advice is just leave and get rid of those people, yeah. But they're going to keep showing up. So that's really what we're talking about here, is a give and take with the environment. It's reflecting back, and it either conditions us or can set us free.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we think of other people who are really part of what we call the environment, because as human beings, we're more social, mm-hmm. and that's our orientation, is we're related to other people, either family, coworkers, partners, friends, or just strangers that we, you know, kind of see in the street and in the stores and those kind of things. Every one of those people has, it's like gravity. It has a pull on your mind. Mm-hmm. Depending on their state of mind, your mind picks it up unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And of course, if we are friendly with those people, or they're our friends, our mind tends to want to regulate itself to their level.
Mm. So it's that consciousness. There was I remember you said this once, you saw this talk on consciousness, and says, if you have a golf ball size consciousness, you're going to see a golf ball size world. And so the way you think about the people and what they perceive in the world and what's possible, that kind of consciousness is going to affect us and influence us. And we tend to want to gravitate toward people that are on the same level as us consciously. And yeah. There's a few of us that are people like you that listen to podcasts like this, that want to learn and grow, that are trying to break free of that old pattern.
Yeah, but there is a situation that almost all of us have to face that is often beyond our control, and that's the work situation.
Yes. Yeah. We have to work.
We don't always choose the people that we're going to be around in the offices and the mm-hmm. meetings and the mm-hmm. all that stuff, you know, the work environment. And those people are going to have a big influence on your mind, mm-hmm. especially if you're not conscious of it, right? If you're not conscious of it, whatever state of mind those people are at, and you can think of it as an average of the group. So mm-hmm. if it's a group of, let's say, 10 people are in a meeting, the room will automatically average itself out to the totality of it.
Oh, yeah, the average, not the
lowest. Yeah, the average, not the lowest. Thank God it's not the lowest.
But the lowest pulls everyone down.
Well,
pulls the average down.
Exactly. And your mind will unconsciously then modulate itself to that level, mm-hmm. to where you're thinking around the same level. Now, unless you're conscious, like mm-hmm. we were saying, as you become more conscious, you can kind of insulate yourself from the negative influences or the challenging aspects of being around those kind of situations.
Are you passionate about personal development and empowering others, and want to turn that passion into a new career? You can become a highly trained coach in our Creative Mind Life Coach Training Program. The next class begins soon, so visit us at creativemindmethod.com to find out more and schedule your free consultation. I know for me, when I was even growing up, you the people you hang out with, you tend to want to do the same type of career moves as them, maybe go to college, to specialize. If your whole family was lawyers, you may want to be lawyers or accountants and doctors. And you think, well, that's just what I'm supposed to do. And you get into that thinking. And then if you want to do something different, people look at you like you have three eyes or three heads and go, what is going on? What is wrong with you? You stay in line. And I think people are conditioned to stay in the tribe, and it's a safety in this kind of predictable environment and balance. But what about when we do find ourselves in these situations, and let's say you're in a work environment that's very toxic, and I always like, if you're in the situation, it's reflecting something in you, like, why are you there? But there's a lot of, you know, high stress and pressure and, you know, crazy bosses and demanding people. And so how do you deal, how do you manage your mind when you're in that place? Because what I notice is that I've been in the corporate world for many years, and then I work with a lot of women that are leaving the corporate world or making that transition. And a lot of them have this kind of idea that I have to work hard. I got to work till 8 o'clock at night. You got to, you know, just grind every day, and you can't relax. You can't take vacation. And that kind of mindset takes over, and it just feels like it's normal to be anxious and stressed out. And so someone in that situation, how would they be able to hold their mind or protect their mind in a way that gives them power?
Awareness is the beginning of wisdom in these situations. If you're not aware of what is the nature of my mind and what is the nature of this experience, then it's playing you. Mm-hmm. You're essentially trying to fit into these environments and these situations and doing your best to cope with them. As you become conscious of the fact that you have a big role in creating these situations, first of all, mm-hmm. you're there because something in you corresponds to that situation. Now, that's a difficult thing for a lot of us to accept. We want to think that, well, if I'm in a toxic situation, it's not my fault, it's the other person. No, I wasn't being obnoxious, it was the other person.
And everyone at the office agrees that this person's annoying. Yeah, we hear that a lot, but everyone agrees.
Yes. So we start by that, by acknowledging that I've attracted or created or put myself in these situations, unconsciously perhaps.
Mostly.
but I had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not just random nonsense.
No accidents.
There are no accidents. That then starts to give us a way to work. Mm-hmm. Because if we are dealing with our own mind, then we can work with it, right? If I have to wait for somebody to change so that I can be happy, I might be waiting a long time.
And you know what I noticed too at this in the offices, what happens is that people will start the gossip train, you know, and they'll talk and they'll meet and they'll talk about how terrible that person is or how terrible the boss is. And it becomes like a lower level feeding, and you can get caught up in that. So that would be another example of how do we be conscious of that and say, you know, do I want to put my mind in this kind of conversation anymore? You know, I'm seeing how I'm pulled toward it, but what is that about me? Like, how can I individuate? How could I not unconsciously just default to a defensive action or defensive mode?
Yeah. So as you become aware of your role in these situations, and you're monitoring your psyche in a sense, you're checking in on yourself and saying, what is this pulling from me? Mm-hmm. How am I reacting to this? Those reactions, those emotions that arise in the mind are the key to being able to work with that mindset, to have it serve you instead of you being played by the environment and your own mind or the reactions of your mind to that environment. You start to gain some control in a mm-hmm. sense. You're able to direct the mind and to say, despite this situation, I can observe and I can still see that this is going on at work and it's stressful or this fight is going on or whatever it is that's happening. You can say, I have a choice as to how I want to respond to this. Mm-hmm. So it's a much saner way of being in the world and especially at work, and especially around people that don't have the control of their mind.
And that's what most of the people in, that you encounter will be people who do not have control of their mind. So they're very, their reactions are very visceral. They're pulled by their emotions. They're not thinking logically. And you can get sucked in with them if you're not aware. And that's really why we get stuck in those situations. But I think what happens is that most people recognize that there's something off. And that's the beginning of understanding. I don't want to get caught up in this. There's like an aversion to it. You start to feel like, this doesn't feel right anymore. I don't want to be in this environment. Okay. It means that you're growing. It means that you're really not buying into it anymore. But I think a lot of people think that they don't know how to get out. I need this job. I can't leave. My boss is never going to leave. I hear that all the time. My boss is, I'm stuck with this boss forever. And I promise you, if you shift inside, the people around you that are causing problems will start to either get fired or transferred. Your boss will get moved away, or maybe you'll get laid off and you'll start a new career or get a new job offer too. It'll reshuffle itself, the world, to align with who you are. And so you can erase your own consciousness, and then the environment around you will match that. But what we tend to do is want to change the environment versus changing our consciousness.
Yes, or wait for some miracle to happen, to change the environment.
I'm going
to
win the lottery.
Yeah, so here are three easy steps. If you are feeling there's a situation at work or in your relationships or even in your family or even with friends that you say, I need to work with this. Mm-hmm. This is pulling some strong emotion from me, or I don't feel good about what's happening in the situation. So the first shift that you want to make is you want to see it as an opportunity. Mm. Why is it an opportunity? Because it's giving you an opportunity to work with that deeper mind in you. In a literal sense, you're going to change the way you perceive the world. And that emotion that's pulling from you that you want to get away from and you're trying to forget about is really the key. This is where most people go wrong. They see it as a problem, as something to get rid of, as something to fix, instead of seeing it as an opportunity. So the first shift, it's an opportunity. Second is you want to welcome in the emotion. You want to say, come on in. Welcome. Tell me more about what this uncomfortable feeling is in this situation. Mm-hmm. Now, this is difficult, obviously, because most of us, like I was saying, we want to get away from it, right? It doesn't feel good. Why would I sit with it? Why would I invite it in?
Because we are conditioned to move away from pain and toward pleasure. So if you want to break the conditioning, you got to move from pleasure to pain almost. You have to go toward what the aversion is to break free of it. And it seems counterintuitive, but that's just how it works.
Yeah, so Jung says, whatever we resist persists. And this is exactly what he means is that if you resist it, if you push it away, it's not going anywhere. It's simply going into your unconscious mind, and it's going to come up as an external event again. But here, the second shift is inviting in the emotion and working with it. Mm-hmm. Now, thirdly, we're still going to take action. It doesn't mean we give up and just blame ourselves and sit and
forgive our parents.
Wallow in our emotions, yeah, or try to forgive people. No, we know we have to take action in these situations. We're the creators. We're the narrators and the inventors of our life.
Like you said, we have a choice.
We have a choice. So we're going to take action, but that action has to be in a certain way. It has to be taken in a certain way. And that certain way is simply called non-attachment. What it means is that we're not out to fix it. We're not out to get a certain result. We're simply taking the action that we're inspired to take from that higher perspective, from that higher vantage point, from that point of view that the working with the emotion gave us, mm-hmm. from absorbing it instead of rejecting it and resisting it, we have a new inspiration, a new way of working with that situation that's going to transform it. Mm-hmm. And people are always amazed at the transformation.
It's like they don't have to do anything, like physically, like have a conversation with someone or move an environment. It just takes care of itself. It feels like a miracle. They say it feels like a miracle happened.
Yes, because it changes the whole dynamics. We know human interaction is like a chemistry set. The people you're putting into that room are creating a unique substance through their chemistry, through mm-hmm. that interaction. When one element changes, the whole structure changes. Mm-hmm. So when you change your mind, that situation is going to shift and change. And if you change for the better, if you become more conscious, more open, not so resistant to emotion and situations, you're shifting the whole mindset of the group. Mm-hmm. And it changes your external experience.
And then after you do that, you might want to say, well, how can I be around positive influences in my life? How can I grow to the next level? Because you can only grow as the level of people around you. So if you look at the five people around you, their consciousness is going to reflect where you're at. So what if you want to go to the next level? You have to find a new tribe. You have to be surrounding yourself with a new environment, a new group that thinks higher, thinks in that higher consciousness, thinks in possibility, thinks it doesn't project and blame other people, takes responsibility for their life, seeks spiritual wisdom. Those people are going to raise your consciousness, because if you enter that group, you'll automatically raise to another level. And like you said, Rob, that our brains really are designed to calibrate to and resonate with the group. So imagine all you need to do is be a part of a group of where you want to go, and unconsciously you're going to be lifted. You're going to be, your consciousness will grow, and it can't not grow around other people that are of higher consciousness. That's why people hang out with gurus and mentors, because you have a guru, they go to the guru and they feel different in their presence. And throughout, you know, thousands of years, students have gone to gurus because they're resonating at a higher frequency of consciousness. And so when they're around them, they are in a higher consciousness. I'm not talking about vibrations. I'm talking about awareness. So we either see things in a very narrow, have the blinders on and a very limited ego mind, or we're seeing things from that creative mind, that expansive mind. And the more you're around people that are thinking that way, an expansive mind, your mind is going to expand. It can't not expand. So even listening to this podcast right now, you're expanding your consciousness. Listen to it again. You'll expand it even more. I promise you, you'll hear something you didn't hear the first time. And a lot of people tell us, you know, we've done, you know, trainings for years and years. And our students 5 years later will say, you know, I just pulled out those old trainings from 5 years ago, and there's things that I didn't hear before. And it's because your consciousness changes. So as you change your consciousness, as you grow, you're going to see and perceive things in a different way. And maybe that means that you leave that environment, that workplace, and you go to another one. I know for me, when I was worked in a really spiritual company that sold yoga products, but it was kind of a toxic.
We won't mention the name.
We won't mention. But a lot of times people said, you know, for such a spiritual company, there's so much, like it's the same thing. Like it's a corporation. So you're going to have people with personality and all that stuff. So when I was ready to leave the company, unconsciously, I was laid off.
There you go.
And then I ended up creating all this. So it was a good thing. So a lot of times when there's a lot of change and it does, there's something that feels off in your environment, it means that environment is not resonating with you anymore. There's a conflict. Sometimes people can work in a job for years and then all of a sudden a new boss comes in or new owners come in, and things start to shake, and it's like you're not supposed to be there anymore. There's something else that you're meant to do. And so we have to listen to those cues as well. And so in the next episode, we're going to talk about how to create an environment every day that fuels the mind and raises consciousness. But for right now, I want you to just do this quick exercise. So I want you to just set your phone on alarm for, let's say, every 3 hours, just for maybe 1 or 2 days, and let that alarm go off. And just notice what you're doing at the time and how you feel and what's around you and what your mind is thinking. And just, you're just being, reminding yourself, like, to be more aware and more conscious in that moment versus letting the environment influence your emotions and your thoughts.
Nice. Yeah, that will start to kind of disrupt that, the same old pattern of your mindset. And because you're injecting these periodic elements of consciousness, you'll start to create a new way of seeing the world and seeing your situation.
It reminds me of when you do the silent meditations and you're just sitting there, and then every once in a while your mind is drifting off, and then the teacher says, bring your mind back to your breath. So it's sort of like, come back to the present moment, because we tend to be in our head so much, especially at work during the day. We're around a lot of people, we kind of lose ourselves. So give yourself every 3 hours, if you want to do it every hour, it's up to you. Just play with it and let us know what you think about it. But it's just a wake up call, basically. It's your wake up call. Just have it a little alarm, and maybe it just vibrates and it just reminds you, okay, be back in the moment. And like those little buzzers on for your back to sit straight up, you just do it for your mind.
All right.
But in the next episode, stay tuned, because we're going to talk about how to raise your consciousness through your environment and how your environment can help you assist you in that.
Awesome.
So take care, everyone. Have a great week and enjoy your summer vacation.
See you next time.
Bye.